What's good, listeners? Welcome to the season 12 opener of the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. And as we got Marissa in right now, she looks like she's got quite the Picasso piece going on right now, but it's all good.
Whole different background.
You know what that happens is when you go on a 2-week hiatus, because we actually wanted to meet each other for the first time in like a long, long time. Everybody in the CCS family got together during this little 2-week hiatus break. And it was so great to have that downtime. But now we're back. We're stronger than ever going into the summertime. And we always like to do this at the top of the show, because on this day, believe it or not, happy birthday to Judy Garland. If she was still around today, you might know her from numerous movies. I know one in particular is The Wizard of Oz. She would have been 100 years old today. Isn't that incredible? She was born in 1922. Also on this day in 2013, Black Sabbath released their album 13. And I know Ozzy Osbourne is going in for some major surgery that could potentially determine whether he will be able to do live performances in the future. So much success, my friend. And also on this day today, we got two cool things happening. I'm a huge fan of this heavy metal hard rock band, Motionless in White. They got their new album out today. It's called Scoring the End of the World. And if you're into Peaky Blinders, I know that was a long wait for everybody, but Netflix just released the final season, or sort of what they say. They say there's a feature film possibly in the works. So keep a lookout for that. But we've got a great show for our season 12 opener, because our Just Talking guest is Bonnie Hee. She is a creator and performer of award-winning piece, A Terrible Show for Terrible People. Also, don't forget to check out our brand new podcast series, Off the Fret, featuring Cannibal Kids. They're an indie rock band from Miami, Florida. And man, I can't thank you guys enough for the thousands of views it's receiving already for our fourth installment. And you know what, Marissa, if you're ready, I'm ready to rock and roll. So let's get on into it. This one's called Say It.
I get to just say it.
This is Say It, because whatever's on our mind that Marissa and I are passionate about that we want to speak on during our time on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, that's the mindset with Say It. So let me get right on to first item of business. Apple proudly announced this week it's releasing three of the most common requests when it comes to iMessage: mark unread, an unsend option, and edit feature. And Apple explains the ability to edit or unsend a message will not be available after the 15-minute mark is complete. So Marissa, I don't know what your thoughts on this. I know a lot of people kind of joking online that they kind of wish they had this feature like maybe 5 or 10 years ago, but I started thinking about, you know, all those implications that everybody wanted to put forward on Elon Musk if he potentially bought out Twitter, and how they wanted an edit button. I'm not the biggest fan of this. I'm sort of feeling like, you know, if we had this feature, after a while, someone's going to find a way to abuse the system. Am I overthinking this?
No, you're ridiculous. This is the best feature. I wish I had this feature. I am that person. In 15 minutes, that's that time where you got impulse to send a message, or you're angry, or what, even drunk sometimes, right? You can take it back. I could have used that when I accidentally sent a nudie to my best friend. I had a call. I was like, delete, don't look, delete. Now, and I could have taken that back off, okay?
Now I hear the real reasoning coming out for Marissa Pitts.
I think everybody knows that. Come on now. The reason we got those messages back is because we accidentally sent the wrong person a nudie.
So maybe this is going to cater in for anybody that's accidentally sending you a dick pic, or maybe the other way around.
Well, I don't think people accidentally send me dick pics. They can hold on to them, but I don't think it's an accident.
But don't you think if like Apple's making this step happen, do you see this being implemented on social media platforms? Because I know some people feel like when you add an edit button, it kind of like, will it increase or decrease information?
On Instagram, I can take a picture off from Instagram.
Well, that's actually very true. You can edit a caption on Instagram, but let's say Twitter and Facebook, which is a little bit more of the source of like factual content compared to that's kind of more visual media. You get where I'm going with this? Like a lot of people kind of say like it will either increase or decrease misinformation if we allow users to use the edit button, which they think if you just leave it how it is, that's how you can form a conversation to change someone's mind. Are the people overthinking this?
I think so. Just a tad bit.
Maybe just a tad bit. Maybe if you're on this same side, let us know what's good. Comment in the YouTube live section. Let us know what you think. Would you use this feature, or are you going to just start blowing up your ex and saying, I love you, baby, and then regret it after 15 minutes and then unsend it? But hey, let's move on. Let's check out your segment for today's Say It.
It's not working. I don't know what's going on. Today.
Either way, it's all good. Hey. There we go.
Oh, love it, love it. Anyway, I'm trying to get all set up today. So it came out today yesterday when you had it.
Here, I got you, Marissa. I'll set up the tone for Say It. So lawmakers on Capitol Hill are facing mounting pressure to respond to a scourge of mass shooting and gun violence in our country. Following Uvalde, Texas, and an earlier one in Buffalo, New York, about 6 in 10 U.S. adults now say controlling gun violence is more important than protecting gun rights, a new NPR poll finds. And I went on IG Reel last night. I was wanting to hear from you, the CCS family. What your thoughts? What do you want to see from Congress to enlist action on this matter? And some of the responses that we got was from Mr. Sansochi. He wrote, let's go back to 1839 when everyone carried and there were zero mass shootings. But I have to say, when you say that kind of stuff, you're basically saying no gun rights for people of color. And you're also saying for women as well. Just keep that in mind. 1839 is not necessarily 2022. Let's go on to the next person. Dark Horse Pyro. He wrote, no, the majority of Americans do not want more unconstitutional gun laws that do not work. Mental health needs addressed, not more government overreach. I don't necessarily see that being government overreach, my friend. People are just wanting to see some laws being changed in Texas. For example, if you're 18 years old and you have the access to buy an AR-15, but you have to wait until you're 21 to get a pistol, that just doesn't make any sense. Let's say the third comment right now, because I know Queen Mab Music, she was one of our previous guests on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, and she wrote a comment back saying, ban assault weapons. If you want those guns, you could serve in the military. I'm not necessarily in favor of banning guns. I just want responsible gun ownership. I believe, you know, if you're someone who, I want to raise the age to 21, but, you know, if you are serving in the military and you're 18 years old, you do get that license, the practical and written test to be able to operate a gun, then so be it. But if you do something underage while you're being held in the military, you're going to be held to the highest standard of the law, period. And I think we could strengthen red flag laws. I think we could strengthen the background test. I think it's crazy in the state of Texas that they don't have some laws like in California where you have to take a written and a practical. That needs to change. Those are just some common sense things. No one wants to take your guns away and just increase it to 21. I think that's a very fair assessment. But hey, let's move on to the next item of business because we got an amazing guest coming up right now at the 10:10 time slot. So stick around. More left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Our guest on Just Talking is Bonnie Hee. She is the creator and performer of award-winning piece, A Terrible Show for Terrible People. How's it going, fam? Marissa, she's in the avatar right now. That's the beauty of Zoom world. But hey, Bonnie, how you doing, fam? Everything good?
I'm great. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. We can hear you. No problem. We are beyond stoked to have you as our season 12 opener. And before we even begin, I know you have given us the luxury for our video audience to be able to get an inside look of what your show is all about. So let's go ahead and get ready to play that teaser, Marissa. This is A Terrible Show for Terrible People. What are we seeing with this? And, you know, right off the bat, Bonnie, I want to know from you, what makes a terrible person?
A terrible person is someone that, like, just wants to have a good time and enjoy some raunchy jokes. I have a very I have a dark, but I have also raunchy. Also, it's just blue. I just have a blue. Let's just be honest. Like, I have a very humor. And that's the kind of stuff I like. And that's the stuff, the kind of stuff I create.
And so, Bonnie, but do you think that more people need to have, I guess, a terrible mindset like you, so then we can kind of loosen up? Because I mean, nowadays it just feels like everybody's just a little uptight when it comes to our form of comedy.
I don't think people are uptight. I think people are evolved. And the world has evolved. And it's like, honestly, if you can't keep up with what the current trends are, maybe, I don't know, be a better comedian.
I love that. Be a better comedian.
I mean, that really actually funny. Is definitely a talking point that's been discussed in the realm of comedy and, of course, in the performance arts. And when you are starting to create and start to, you know, immaculate this kind of a performance that you want out of a terrible person, a terrible people for a terrible show, a terrible show for terrible, excuse me, it's like a tongue twister.
I feel oh my gosh, three times fast.
I feel like the best thing is for you is, or maybe myself, I need to take note from you. Why does it feel like, you can speak louder than words? Why is action more important now today when it comes to your performance art piece?
Well, thank you for asking me that. And just for your viewers, so they know, the reason I think you're asking me that is because my show is 45 minutes long and I only speak two words the entire time. It's a physical comedy piece. So to answer your question, I think that people are tired of just talking points, you know?
Yes.
I think people want to see actions, and we're like, you can talk all you want, but we want to react to the things you're doing. We're so desensitized to like people saying the same thing over and over again, not doing anything about it. So.
Were you a little nervous about doing this kind of approach? Because I, you know, when I first heard about the piece, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then once I saw it, I got it. But I'm sure as a creator, did you have some kind of setback about the attention span of millennials and Gen Z, for example?
That's a great question. And I think that as an artist, sometimes you're just throwing shit to the wall to see what sticks. And for me, I was very lucky because this didn't start off as like, I'm going to make this show about this. It just so happened that I was like starting to immerse myself into the world of clowning, physical comedy, physical theater. And I started creating these pieces. And once I had like, for some reason, three solid pieces, all of them happened to not have any words, and they just kind of worked because I tested them in front of like audiences. And that I was
every
like,
actor should take there. Clowning. I took clowning. Every actor should take clowning. We are so disconnected from our physical body. And like watching your show is like, oh, she did clowning. I totally know. She did it. I totally know.
Clowning. I want to know.
Well, I took out when I was down at Shakespeare and Company. They for the intensive, so they had the clowning. They had brought it in, like when you put the little nose on. It was amazing. Amazing.
I think that's so cool. And I know a terrible show for terrible people is described as quote somewhat interactive. You're not just watching a show. You're participating in the destruction of common decency. So explain yourself, Bonnie. How so?
Explain myself. Okay. I think it's like, obviously, I don't want to like ruin the magic, but it is very tongue-in-cheek. So I feel that my show description is pretty much if you resonate with that name, a terrible show for terrible people, you're going to like the show because it's got that very like tongue-in-cheek humor, and it's very, like I said, it's raunchy. I forgot the original question. My bad.
No, but you know, what I was going to get at is, Bonnie, your award-winning show has received high praise from critics. I mean, one of them was even saying that you are the Charlie Chaplin of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, and your physical comedy show uses audience participation, which I think is super groovy. I love that idea, by the way. I think it needs to be enhanced and excelled even more to this day. So how did this come to be?
To use audience participation? Like I said, it just was just my journey through clowning when I started. And we would do pieces and just like throw stuff to the wall. And it really just resonated with me. I think also, to be honest, you know, my parents are immigrants and my dad like grew up when I watched stuff with him. It was like Laurel and Hardy, obviously Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until I was actually putting the show together that I was like, I'm doing comedy that like resonates and transcends language. Because you don't need to understand a particular language to find it funny. There's only two words and all the actions are physical. So I feel like it's like I'm almost making a show that like any immigrant or any person that has like a language barrier or just anyone can enjoy, and that language is universal.
And it's definitely physical, CCS family. And, you know, I want to know from you, has any audience participation gone wrong? And how do you combat that?
I was just about to ask that. I was like, has anybody been like, no, I will not go on stage.
Because I know for myself, like, I think that I could do pretty well in those kind of situations.
My mom would have a heart attack and, like, freeze and not go.
Yeah, because I know that there's an amazing bar, piano, where they bring people up. And sometimes you think that you can handle that pressure being live on stage. And then once they start doing their thing, you're like, oh, no, what did I get myself into? So has anything gone wrong with audience participation?
So part of the work of clowning is you are supposed to actually be very sensitive to the audience. And so what I'm doing immediately when I get on stage that may not be obvious is I'm scanning. Like, I'm actually looking to see who the best participant is. And like, I have to be sensitive to that. So
you're multitasking as you're performing.
Yeah, you're multitasking. And knock on wood.
So you got to work the room. It's kind of like a comedian, a musician's got to do.
You're working the room, but it's a little like opposite. Like, I feel like when they're, it's like a little bit of both and a little bit more. I think when like stand-ups, for instance, like work the room, they're seeing the hot spots, right? Like someone's going to react well to their set. I'm seeing that as well, but I'm also checking in to see who would probably be the most willing participant. And it's just like in the moment, it's an instinct. It's a look that I'm picking up. And I want to make sure that I'm not picking anybody that like
steals the show.
No, might be like too raunchy or might like just like totally freeze up, and knock on wood, nothing like that has seriously.
Yeah, because I know even on the show description, you're even saying, you know, 13-year-olds and up can go in. I'm sure you're not pulling necessarily them out of the crowd, because I know some of the performances in your piece are so funny that it's so real. I kind of giggle if that actually happened.
Oh yeah, one time I did like a shorter version at like a variety show, and I was told that like, oh, those are my students in the audience and they're in high school. And even though I could see that they were the most receptive, I was like, oh, they're not 18.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't necessarily abort the mission. Yeah. Because what I was going to get at for anybody of the CCS family that might not understand why I'm having this conversation with Bonnie is because a terrible show for terrible people is like a witty reveal of ourselves and our bodies that we only sort of talk about in private. And like, what message do you want the audience to walk away with?
You know, so I just got the most amazing review of my life from Better Levins, from a writer named Mark Hine, and he really dove into the feminist aspect of the piece, which is not what you would inherently think of, because I am literally like all over the place and doing like
you are. I think you're challenging the male's mind, you know, or the male's raunchy mind. I mean, I was laughing because, you know, us men, we're into some kinky shit here and there. But then once you sort of see it in action a little bit, then you sort of regret some of the things that, you know, you have that dream
of. I just can't see Chris and kinky. Chris and kinky, those are two words I don't see together. I just don't see those.
But it's like, how does innuendo and a bit of raunch work for your advantage? That's what I want to know.
I think that it's because of who the artist is, right? So I'm one of the few female Asians in the physical comedy space. Traditionally, this has been male dominated, you know, like you mentioned earlier, like Charlie Chaplin, then Laurel and Hardy, Mr. Bean. These are all like white men spaces. So I think that one, me doing it is already sort of like challenging the status quo. And then two, I think it's because people, just for better or worse, we still have our implicit biases, and no one's expecting that from me in my cute little, like, whatever.
They are not at all. But you definitely got that great setup going, and I'm glad that you mentioned some industry talk, because that's something I wanted to share with you. Yeah. Because it's no secret that, you know, the millennial audience at the performance arts has declined as well with older age groups over the years. And I know what I think about it, but I want to know from you first. What do you think the case is for this?
For the declining,
You know, for people showing up to performance arts, you know, going to go see live theater. Why do you think that's the case? I mean, do you even agree with that stance, or you totally disagree?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I don't think it means that the interest is viewing. I think that there's just different platforms, right? There's platforms like yours when people can watch from the safety of their own home, you know, like you don't have to go out to a theater anymore.
See, that's an interesting take that you're actually going down this road right now, because I was sort of thinking maybe Do you think it's a limited awareness or knowledge of the arts organizations that's currently happening in 2022? Or do you think it's more about we just need to embrace new media and start finding new ways where we can bring people into the theater or maybe on their computer screen? Is that what you're getting at?
I mean, like, I can't attest to that first point of, like, I don't know if there is a decline or what that decline is. Like, I'm not well-versed enough in that subject. But as far as, like, new media, obviously, we're so immersed in it. And as a millennial myself, like, we're seeing it in our lives. Like, you know, I didn't have my first smartphone until, like, after college. Like, that, okay. That was insane. And, like, babies are, like, on, like, iPads now, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think there's like new mediums. And I think that's, you know, there's pros and cons, but the pro is there's so many more ways that one, people can express themselves and on the flip side that people can enjoy art form, you know, like that, like you're basically doing the job of like the old like 90s, like radio DJs. I used to listen to like K-Rock and stuff like all the time, like growing up, and you're
basically- Yeah.
Well,
that was like my thing.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And basically like this show has like a wider platform than even that. It's not just local. Like you're not just getting like viewers, I'm sure, just in LA.
Yeah.
And the Fringe Festival really jumped on when it became with COVID and streaming, because now you're able to go live, which to me is always the best. And if not, there is a platform to see it online too.
Yeah, I think you guys are.
I love they embrace that.
And then full disclosure, you cannot see my thing streaming, just because. Yeah. So, like, it, as I say this,
of yours course, has so, to be in person.
No, but this it's is just an overall comedy. Industry
it
talk.
It has we're not, to be yeah, in person.
We're not just focusing on the Hollywood Fringe Festival, but I do think that you are getting onto something. I think that there are some things where you think about, you know, performance arts and theater will mash them both together. You know, they hold on to their old traditions, but maybe there's some new things coming into fruition. I mean, I never thought that the cost was ever playing a factor in low attendance. I mean, Hamilton's proven that. Yeah. I mean, Hamilton's kind of proven that. I mean, millennials will pay hundreds of dollars just to sit in the back row. So, like, I think, you know, millennials have plenty of time on their hands. So, like, how can performing arts excel around other cultural events? I mean, I thought I was...
So, back to my first point, just good. Like, right?
I like that. Okay, yo.
I mean, I'm obviously biased because I'm a clown, but some of my favorite live shows now are just clowning shows because they're so like original and like raw, and they're so and because of art, the work again that we have to do, I feel really connected to the performers because the performers, the clowning performers, are really connected to me. So if I'm going to go see a live show, it has to be worth the time for me to get into like pants first of all. Into my car, because when I have so many other options where I could literally just be like naked if I want to, like in bed washing stuff.
Well, and do you think it's and do you think it's also because of maybe the last few years about the heavy content that's been put on, you know, woke, Me Too, all that stuff, that sometimes it's nice just to escape? I mean, Top Gun is one of the top sellers right now, right? An action film, you know, all the Marvels, they're packing the seat. And so for you, is it maybe a way because of escapism? So you can just go and laugh and enjoy versus sitting in something heavy?
I personally like don't like escapism is such like a touchy thing, because I feel like you can't just be like, oh, I don't want to think about something because it doesn't matter. Like everything matters. I personally think it's more to do with because of COVID, and because of all the hardships that we went to, people are really, really valuing their time, because we know life is short. Something could happen unexpected at any moment. So if you value your time, you're only going to want to invest in enjoying the things that you think are worth your time, not because someone says like, oh, you have to, you know? So then again, it goes back to like, if it's worth your time, you're going to get off your butt to see it.
Yeah, sometimes I agree with that stance, because I joked numerous times during season 11 that it's like millennials are not necessarily worried about the COVID-19 pandemic. It's definitely been proven definitely here in Southern California, where they're going to mass events, to hip hop shows, rock and roll shows, that they'll go to 10 to 20,000 plus events. I mean, Angel Stadium literally just had 28,000 people show up for a team that had a 14 loss streak and just ended it last night. So like, people are showing up in places. I just sort of think that millennials love events that can afford the opportunity to socialize. I mean, they like the idea of serving.
But I don't think it's because they're not scared of it. I think it goes back to like, they just, you know, one, it's like we're just coming out of the sort of the pandemic. Like, I think I heard somewhere that COVID will become endemic in 2024, which means it becomes just like a normal part of our lives. But even now, like people who have symptoms have very, very, for the most part, very light symptoms, and people have been vaccinated, people have been boosted and doing safe things. I think it still goes back to like, yes, they're doing these events, and not because they don't care, but because it's like, one, people have already lost like 3 years of their lives or more, and they want to have a good time, and they want to do things that matter to them in the short time that we have on this earth.
Yep, I'm not sitting at home. I mean, I'm vaccinated. I go out. I mean, I try to be, you know, mindful. I have my little sanitation still.
Right.
But I go out. I am definitely over not going out.
Yeah, and I think some of those factors are played in, just like what Bonnie says, just like what Marissa just stated right now. I'm sort of on that same page where it's like people kind of want to escape from that day-to-day stress. I mean, I don't really want a dress code when I show up. I think that's the beautiful thing about, you know, your show, Bonnie. I feel like I could just kind of walk into the room with my casual wear, maybe serve me a drink or food. By the way,
that is such a West Coast thing. You go East Coast, you're dressing up. You go to the East Coast, you are going somewhere, but I wonder to a bar, whatever it is, you dress up. It's a West Coast thing.
That happens, really?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of friends on the East Coast, and when we're going to go, like when I'm out there and drink, where I see their instas and their stories, they are always looking fly. I think the Cali people are like, oh, I just threw on this shirt that maybe was washed.
Okay? You know, if we got any East Coast millennials that are in on this mix, we'd love to know from you. Chime in. I want to know from you because I feel like the dress code, put a drink in my hand, maybe a little food before I even walk into the theater.
Flip flops for Chris. He's good to go.
No flip flops. No. I don't like looking at toes. Male toes.
Do you wear socks with your shoe?
No, I don't wear the sandals. Are irrelevant. It's not even a thing. Only when you're at the beach.
You can get a pedicure.
Thank you.
People will appreciate it. I'll be like, that's a fine.
Oh, I look at guys' toes. I'm like, okay. Ooh, baby,
now I know that Bonnie and Marissa both got a toe fetish. Thanks, guys. That's not necessarily my question that I had in mind. No, I love that. I think that's so cool. And I do want to focus on this real quick while I got a couple minutes with you, Bonnie, because the one thing I think that works really well with the Terrible Show for Terrible People is your visual media. I think it's really cool. I'm not going to give away what happens at the end of the piece, but do you think more performance arts should embrace that tactic? Because I know a lot of people, because you're mixing in 1920s work with 2022 visual representation. I think that's super groovy. And do you see that being something more that you play into a factor in the coming years?
I think it's like, well, obviously the more we are in the future, the more we have all of history to play with, right? So we have more avenues to do multimedia. And I think that is a thing. I think for my show, I wouldn't say coincidence, but because my show, I'm mostly on stage and I respect the audience's time, and would never want to leave stage for that long. But the very last piece, it is a costume change.
It's amazing. I mean, CCS family, you definitely want to go and grab tickets to this event, A Terrible Show for Terrible People at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And Bonnie.
Yes, there's a code.
There is.
There's a discount code for your listeners specifically.
That's right. And we're going to be posting that poster right after the show. So keep a lookout on the Chris Collins Show social media handles. And Bonnie Heath, thank you again for joining the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. Off the Fret, where Marissa and I have music topics that we've been dying to discuss. So let's get right on into it. But actually, I just said let's get right into it, but I need to let everybody know that we got this amazing fourth installment of Off the Fret, more music talk podcast. We talked with the boys from Miami, Florida. They are an amazing indie rock band. They're called Cannibal Kids. So go ahead, check that out. And we got some exciting news, Marissa. We might as well share it now. The boys in Animal Son, we're in the works with them right now. They are going to be our next guest for Off the Fret. We're looking forward to it, especially since they've been dropping new singles throughout the springtime and more to come during the summer. So we're going to be engaging with them and having more conversation about the industry and new music. But let's get right on into it, because when Halsey posted on TikTok saying her record label is making her, quote, fake a viral TikTok moment before releasing a song, where do we stand? Where does Marissa think about this? I mean, my first inclination was it was kind of funny how she used her platform to not have this conversation with the regular. Maybe she did. Maybe she did it. It was kind of funny because there was no, she didn't talk in it, Marissa. She just like let the TikTok video and the caption text speak for itself. But a lot of artists came back with support with Halsey. Like I know Rock Outfit, Bring Me the Horizon, Oli Sky came out and said, yeah, it feels like, you know, a lot of these record labels think of us as like paid actors. We just want to be on stage and perform and play great music and not be held hostage to the system. But I sort of feel like the record labels have a point. I mean, if you see how TikTok has excelled over the years, TikTok outnumbers the viewership to YouTube now. And there might be a real possibility that TikTok might be listed on viewership when it comes to the Billboard Top 200. Just of last year, or 2 years ago, excuse me, Billboard Top 200 just allowed viewership of YouTube to be counted onto the charts. So if TikTok's taking place of YouTube, yeah, I can kind of see why record labels are going, you need to have a little bit more of a face and presence on the platform. What's your thought, Marissa?
Okay, so I always look at things kind of as a business owner, and I would be livid if my artist didn't want to try to put together something that is a fad, that is a craze, that fans love. Yeah. Fans love TikTok. They like to make the videos and do it. So as a business owner, I totally understand them saying like, look, you need to make this so that when we drop it, you can get those million views. You can get that go viral, because it really is about getting that viral sensation. As an artist, I guess I understand if they don't use TikTok and that's not their realm, why they wouldn't want to and feel kind of played out. But still at the end of the day, like you're an artist, and if you have the luxury to do your art and not have a 9-to-5 job, or like me, I work 60 yeah. hours a week, 60 hours. That's why I'm like, my eyes are so red right now. I've been up since 3, right? And just to make my art happen. So if some producer was like, hey, make a TikTok video and you'll make money, I am TikTok videoing it out, okay? So I don't know.
No, Marissa, I think you're having a great point. I mean, even I'm gonna make an even personal take with this. I mean, we just went on our 2-week hiatus. We were just talking about the future of the Chris Collins Show. We've always said since day one, people wanna put a face to that voice. That's the reason since day one we've been a video on air production. We've noticed that the future of radio is changing. And that's the same way with your artists. How many times have we said on this show, Marissa, that our favorite artist is not being recognized because we can't relate with them? We don't know what they look like. And that's a major problem. And when you got A-plus artists bitching and complaining that record labels are telling you, hey, we kind of want you on there every day, just spend 15 minutes of your time jumping on TikTok, or get a producer, matter of fact, to edit the video for you after. You got plenty of dinero. We're supporting you as an artist. You know, we're covering your traveling expenses. We're making the production value even greater for your music. Why are you holding back on everything that we're trying to do to promote you, the betterment of yourself? That's something that's a little silly with me. You could choose sides. I know that there's opposite factions still to this day on the internet, but I know that this question will be raised during our 5th installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk podcast, when we have the band Animal Son with us. So Stephen Blake, get ready, my friend. You will be asked this same question. But Marissa, let's go ahead and play an amazing music video. This is one of the most recent ones. This is called Chasing Shadows, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Dreaming of a perfect picture where we rule this place as a king and a
Yeah, that's right. That is Animal Sun, and that is their amazing music video, Chasing Shadows. You can check that out on their album, Generation Waiting. And I want to let you guys know that we got an amazing fourth installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk with Miami, Florida indie rock band Cannibal Kids out now on our YouTube channel. But let's get right on into this. This is Off the Fret currently, where we're talking about music topics that are circulating around the world this week. So let's get right on into it. This is one of the biggest music news items of the week, actually. The Grammys have announced several new awards, including Songwriter of the Year, which is long overdue, including Best Video Game Score. I guess they want to kind of keep with the times. With zero acknowledgement to improve the Grammys live televised event to represent all genres of music, the Recording Academy adds a new award titled Song for Social Change, which I think is a bunch of malarkey bullshit. I mean, we were just kind of talking just now and just talking how, you know, there's been kind of some wokeness that's been happening in the performance arts. Well, let's just step it in now with our music world. I mean, Marissa, okay. You want to go first? You go first. Well, I'll let you go first.
Are we going to talk about the social change one, or are we talking about the best?
I was going to go straight in. Well, yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead.
We'll stick with social change. I got it all on him. We had a guest on here, and my mind just went blank on her name. Help me out. She had the dress that said Trump. She had the number one song.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
My mind just went blank. I'm so sorry. I've been awake since 3 a.m. Anyway, I'll relook at this. But would her song have been social change? Would it have categorized for it? Because it was singing about social change, just on a different political spectrum. Is it only about climate change? Is it only about gun safety? I mean, what is the parameter of social change?
Yeah, that was my biggest thing, because you're going into the actual content of the lyrical content. And I understand that. I mean, my first thought was there has been a lot of news circulating around the world in the rock world, where some conservatives online didn't understand that some of their favorite Rage Against the Machine songs were actually political. So that's a problem.
Band? That's why I got mad that they were like Rage Against the Machine, and let me charge you $1,000 for a ticket. Sorry.
You went off topic. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But they're very considered political. But then you have different listenerships that don't understand that certain songs are definitely geared towards a more progressive stance. Also, does this require an artist to have to do humanitarian work? Imagine you get a song for social change, and you haven't done anything to improve the welfare of today. What if you had a song about gun rights and you didn't do anything to move that forward?
Okay.
What if you did addressing homelessness and you didn't do anything?
Like, We Are the People would have the number one. You know, I remember that with We Are the, was there that with Michael Jackson, and they were the whole group of them?
Yeah.
That would have won.
But absolutely. There's a lot of that kind of going on. It's a lot of malarkey. I see with the Song for Social Change as being a totally woke idea. And just get ready, fam. This is obviously going to be coming for the Recording Academy. But let's not focus
Joy
on
Via.
Just
Joy Via. Yeah. Okay, there it is. I was like, why is her name off my head? Check her out, fam. We have an episode. Look it up. She definitely is a wonderful woman.
Well, like you said, you know,
that she sticks by.
Yeah, obviously we got January 6th committees going on right now. She has a song about supporting Donald Trump. Is that a song for social change? I mean, some would argue in that party it is, and obviously there's going to be a good majority that say it's not. This is flip-floppy. I mean, this is only going to be held to like a few themes: climate change, homelessness, and, you know, the prosperity of a better world. Of course, you know, it's very, very silly, but to see that the Recording Academy is on with Best Video Game Score, I think is definitely something that's geared for millennials and Gen Z. And just watch, my prediction is that the Academy Awards is going to be next, and they're going to add in the Best Video Game of the Year. They're not necessarily a film, but I've argued over the years that some of these video games have better storylines than some of your favorite movies being nominated in the Best Picture. But hey guys, let's play some music. This is Off the Fret after all. So let's show the CCS family what's good by playing Leaving for Arizona's music video, Number Stations, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Thank you.
is leaving for Arizona, and that is their brand new music video, Number Stations. I'm always amazed by their work. I think that's actually one of the more creative. I believe they made that themselves.
Really?
Which is even cooler. Because I saw their behind the scenes on TikTok, and they had their green screen set up, and they're just so elaborative beyond the music, I think is something so special that I think bands need to recognize. I mean, if you want to be an up-and-coming independent artist like Leaving for Arizona, take notes from those guys. That's an incredible music video. But I want to remind everybody, this is Off the Fret, where Marissa and I, we talk about the music conversations that have been happening around the world. And also, we got a brand new music podcast, Off the Fret, more music talk. It is our fourth installment with Cannibal Kids. They're an indie rock band from Miami, Florida. So go ahead, like, subscribe, hit the bell, all that fun jazz. But let's get right on into it. Rolling Stone recently made waves with music lovers when they released their top 200 greatest hip hop albums of all times. And I know Marissa's got a picture of it. Let's go ahead and share with the listening audience what's good. So the top three Rolling Stone hip hop albums are: number one, the Notorious B.I.G.'s 1994 record, Ready to Die. Number two, Outkast 2000 record, Stankonia. And number three, Jay-Z's 2001 record, The Blueprint. And we'll leave this visual up there for a little bit. Let everybody kind of soak it all in. Let's just take a moment, Marissa, just kind of think about it. I know I was telling you behind the scenes before Friday's live show, I wanted to know from you personally, does this kind of match your top three? Do you have something different? Think about it, CCS family. Join the conversation now on YouTube Live. Let us know what your top three records are today. But let's get Marissa's video feedback on. I want to hear from you. But I guess I'll kind of go first. I kind of made it a purpose and a reason not to write my top three down. I really wanted to kind of go into the live show challenging myself on what I think my top three records are. I know this is my personal take, CCS fam. I don't know if these would be the greatest albums of all times, but for myself personally, these are my favorite ones, but in no particular order. I would have to go with, for sure, because it was one of my favorite records growing up in high school, Mac Miller's Kids, kicking incredibly dope shit. That was one of the most iconic albums. Rest in peace to his soul. I saw him twice live, every single time at the Glass House and then Nokia in LA. He threw it down every single time. Number two, I would have to easily say Dom Kennedy, West Side with Love Part 2. That is one of my favorite records. There's something about it where you're constantly singing along to the music, and he's always got these great melodies in between each track. And that was a keeper for me. And then I would have to say, because a lot of my older peers in high school were showing me this record a lot, it always stays true to me. I'm a big proponent of Atmosphere. I love Slug and Ant. I love what they
do. Atmosphere is amazing.
I'm
going to go with that one for that. Okay.
I didn't say the record yet. I was sort of debating it. I wanted to say, if life hands you lemons, paint that shit gold. It's such a classic. It's a bit mainstream, but every single
mainstream if it's really good. I mean, come
that's
on.
True.
Like,
well, that's
you're
going
to have
guess,
a mainstream if you're a really good album.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. Like, it's mainstream in the fact that, like, if no one's ever heard of Atmosphere, that's the first record you have to hand somebody. And then when they listen to it front to back, they're like, this is so freaking amazing. And then you can kind of get into that kind of old school beats and all that kind of stuff and et cetera. But I want to know from you, Marissa, do you even like my take? Do you like Rolling Stones first off?
Rolling Stones, Outkast. I was like, okay, I can see that one. Yours, The Atmosphere, I can see it. Ones I had, there's like actually, because I know I was
so you thought Outkast over Notorious B.I.G.?
Yeah, for me, I think for their album. For me, my list, N.W.A. Straight out of Compton.
Yeah, that's
come
up
on,
there for
how
sure.
Can that not be iconic? There it is.
Is that an album for Song for Social Change? Oh, wait.
It could be. Depends on what social what social coin you're on. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Come on, Eminem. Slim Shady.
That was a hard debate with me, too.
How could you not? And then Kanye West, that first album that came out, my mind just went blank.
College Dropout? Is that the one you're thinking?
Yes, College Dropout when it came out. That
Yeah, that was quite
blew
iconic.
My mind. I don't care what people want to
think
about
Kanye. Not the Twisted Dark Fantasy.
Or Yay Now, should I say? Yay Now. Who cares about that? When that came out, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Right. Just, I mean, he is a genius when it comes to putting stuff together and content and beats. So those are my three top.
Yeah, I definitely say Nas is in the runner up for me. I would I know some people would clown me for saying Wiz Khalifa. I'm not saying his newer stuff. I'm not a fan of Wiz Khalifa, but I love Kush and Orange Juice. That's one of the greatest mixtapes of all times growing up. I even remember when I was commissioner of pep rallies at Claremont High School. We even got, the marching band to even do a rendition of Never Been. That was so freaking cool. But by the way, guys, we want to keep to the spirit of hip hop. We want to play a great artist that's been on with us a couple seasons back. I want to believe that I think it was season 7. He's still around. He's holding his thing down in Texas as we speak. This is EC Main. He's got an incredible music video. It's called Ben's Vibe, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Ben's Vibes. Pull up in a new Benz, up in front of my old friends. Now they mad, got new friends. I swear I miss the old grins. Praying G.O.D. don't punish me cause of old sins. You got a little drip, I crack a diamond and go green. Grinch squad robbing shit, we did all that before. Come through, kick down your door, cause fuck a Wendy's 4-4-4. Boys act like they upset, them white folks let me free, man. Now they back here and they BM say EC, man. She in the bathroom for an hour, we on FT, man. Then she come lay back with you, cause I'm a P, man. I done did and seen shit the average nigga dream about. All them niggas lame, now I'm seeing just what your team about. I'll hit your block, now I'm seeing that ain't they scream about. Situations like that, though, I let my demon out. Mama used to tell me, son, everybody they grin in your face all the time, they really ain't your friend. The law was looking for me, was happy to turn me in. Wanted me in the pen, but now they gon' see me win. Light show when I smile, I'm sipping on straight hen. This Benz 2018, better look at that hoe again. 1D with my lady, my savior, he gon' protect me. Then paid a lot of dues, I made them niggas respect me. The country streets hot, can't hit no licks that affect me. Snitching like coronavirus, can't let child infect me. Boys do the crime, they scared to do the time. Now they setting niggas up to say they own behind. You knew what was up when you first started the grind. They get they self caught, now they ready to drop a dime. Down, I gotta stay. Down, I gotta pray. Down, they gotta pay. At Gwen's, I've been MLK. Hurt when they forgot about me when I was gone. No money on my books, no cars bought for the phone. Now they say I act different with people now that I'm home. Trying to go legit after weight and live wrong. I was in the hills out here staying by the white folks. Had to realize I wasn't hanging with the right folks. I just had a lot of them fair weather friends. When the weather fair, they there. But they gone when it ends. Who let these niggas in? Check it out, I think the lock broke. I ain't mad at you, that's the realest shit that Pac spoke. Time moving slow in that cell, feel like the clock broke. Me and Lil' Cuz on the south, he had the block woke. I know they remember, cold like December. Birthday in September, when I returned I felt like Simba. Now I'm moving different, them niggas look at me strange. Talking down on my name, saying the nigga changed. Trying to be on TV like my Lil' Cuz from LaGrange. Right now in that Benz, but really I want the range. Man, hold up. Benz vibes. Oh, I'm just vibing in that Benz. On my way to get some onions.
But we want to remind everybody, we got a fourth installment of Off the Fret, More Music Talk podcast with Cannibal Kids out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. So let us know what's good. Go in the comments section. Let us know what your favorite part is. And we got Animal Son coming up as our next guest for a music podcast. Stick around. More left on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. This is What's Good, because there's so much negativities on channels 2 through 11. So Marissa and I, we break the mold and let you guys know what's good. New York State Legislature recently passed the Puppy Mill Pipeline Bill. It is a groundbreaking legislation that will end the retail sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits in pet stores across the state. With so many good animals in need of rescue, there is no need for abusive mills, puppy mills, to be supplying pet stores. It just doesn't make any sense to this day. I know one of my favorite comedians, Bill Burr, always likes to make fun of the concept of the title of rescue dog. He's like, you didn't literally rescue the dog out of a fire. But come on, Bill. The whole situation is we don't want this to become a mass industry where they're literally abusing dogs. I mean, they're being held in terrible facilities, held in kettles that are just not clean. They're not fed. They're not even watered properly. And I think there are plenty of dogs out there that are just as beautiful as the ones from that don't have a home. So support this movement. Get it to, it's going to the governor's desk today.
And for all the people who are like, but I want this purebred because I know what temperament I'm getting and blah, blah, blah. You can still get your purebred animal from a legitimate place that is not supplying puppy mills that have to take care of their animals. You have to fly them in. You got to spend a lot of money. You can go see the facility. So you can still get your purebred dog. This needs to stop. We stopped it in California. We saw an immediate spike up in people being adoptive from out of the... The shelters, not having these purebred dogs dumped off because now all of a sudden your landlord won't allow you to have it. You know what I mean? So this is a good thing. You can still get your purebred dog. Don't stress. We're going to make it so it's safe for all animals.
That's right. I think commercial breeding operations definitely need to stop. I mean, they need to stop prioritizing profit over the well-being of animals. I think it's definitely cruel. And I'm proud to say growing up, Marissa, my parents have taught me well, and we've had rescue dogs all my life. So all that kind of connotation that rescue dogs are not good dogs, they're not friendly with family, that's a bunch of malarkey. And I stand by that, CCS family. So it's approved by Chris Collins. But I do want to say this broken system is made possible because it's still legal to sell dogs. So the New York pet stores are one of the largest puppy mill industries today in the United States. So if it's signed into law, which is going to be brought to the governor's desk today, over the weekend, it would stop the flow of cruelly bred puppies in the state of New York, which will eventually create a huge wave from east to west to stop this practice here in the United States. But hey, we want to give a definite shout out again to our amazing season 12 opener guest. That is Bonnie Heath. She's got an amazing performance art piece right now. It's award-winning, by the way. It's called A Terrible Show for Terrible People. Get your tickets today at HollywoodFringeFest.org. Yes, and we are going to be posting on our social media right after today's show where we have a QR code where you could save some money on your tickets. So go support great art today. And Marissa.
And who is our next week's guest?
That's right. This is our first Strike a Chord artist that's going to be joining us for season 12. They're an amazing group out of San Diego, California, and they are called Los Saints. So definitely check out their music. They're super, super groovy. I love supporting up-and-coming artists. But hey, check out our brand new Off the Fret episode with Cannibal Kids. And if you like what you're listening to, go to thechriscollinsshow.com, become a member today, and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, enjoy the weekend, fam, and we'll see you next week. But I do want to say this. We're on TikTok, so go ahead and follow us at The Chris Collins Show. We're going to be promoting more visual content on there. And enjoy the ride, fam. See you next week. Peace. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. In denial. Astoria State. Kid Dad. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. Avenues. Freckles. Weather Worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Storm 2022. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Peace. our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You would look so jazzy.
I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what? I love it. Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace.
What's good? I'm Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring Cannibal Kids, a Miami indie alternative rock band known for urban exploration and sipping mojitos in the Florida sun. With new music in the horizon, join Off the Fret. More music talk.